If you would like to read along with me, I'm reading again from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9 through 10 and 12. 1 Corinthians 13, 9 through 10 and 12. Hear ye the word of the Lord. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then all which is in part will be done away. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also. Okay, that is 1 Corinthians 13, 9. And today we're talking about what lens are you using? What lens are you using? And this will be part three for us. And I just want to revisit what we're talking about in terms of how to interpret the Bible. In our case, what lens are you using? And the first week, we did the musical interpretation. So we sang songs on the first time that I taught this part of how to interpret the Bible. I can speak. Musical interpretation is basically doing what God says in the Word. And sometimes we have to ask, what does the Bible say about music? And so, especially in the psalm, we're taught to worship him with music, worship him in the dance, worship him with the cymbal. So these are instrumental musical ways. And the next part that we talked about, just want to reiterate, when we read the Bible, and I think this is so awesome in having a deeper, more intimate relationship with the Word. We can draw it. We can write it. We can research it. We can pray it. We imagine it. We play it. We can play it in music. Or we can play it like a game. Tag, you're it. And then we can speak it. We can speak the Bible, whether we're standing and teaching or whether we are just saying something to another person. And we can ask. Sometimes there are parts in Scripture we may not understand, so we have to ask for clarity. We sing it, whether we're singing, oh, yes, one of my favorite songs by Fred Hammond is "This Is the Day," and he sings the scripture. That's another thing that I like about Fred too. Almost always his songs are scripturally based. No weapon formed against me. I want to say that is Isaiah either 17 or 54, but whichever one it is, it's a direct scripture of what we sing. Or what, how we hear it come across in song. And we can imagine it. Just sit still and figure out, what does he mean about that? And we get the answers. And we talked about a church father called John Cassian. And he used four senses of four ways to interpret the scriptures: the literal, the symbolic, the ethical, and the mystical. And I want to go in a little bit more detail over these approaches, because sometimes you kind of just breeze through and it's a lot of information. And sometimes we just need to hear it twice. I know I do. So what is the literal approach? It means that we take biblical text at face value. And this doesn't necessarily mean literally. What it means is saying, what would we think if we saw rivers really clap their hands, according to Psalm 98:8. The texts are beneficial when they are read in their basic sense historically, because the text represents actual events, actual people, actual statement. The literal method is often considered the most important kind of interpretation of the Bible. I take it literally when they said Sarah was impregnated at 90. Now, do I really expect that to happen? I don't know, but they say if it happened in the Bible, it can happen to us. So she was 90. And what's another one that's literal that you have to kind of look sideways about? This is another one of my favorite. Cast not your pearls before swine, or give what's holy to the dogs, because they will turn on you, tear you, and rip you to pieces. How many even know where to find a pig these days? Dog is a little different. So that's the literal approach. The symbolic approach is known as the allegorical or typological method. Symbolically, the story of Abraham and his two wives, Hagar and Sarah, that story could be read allegorically to interpret the difficult relationship between the Jews and the Christians in Galatians. Another allegory is, let me go into detail to tell you exactly what an allegory is. An allegory is a story or a poem that can be interpreted to reveal a hidden meaning. It's a way of criticizing things or people. Now, the Bible does not tell us to do this, but if you're having a difficulty getting along with people, we are sometimes told you have to handle them with a long handle spoon. I'm like, well, how long can this spoon be? How long does a spoon have to be in order for us to handle them? But technically, what the word says is hold your pearls in your hand. That's even allegorical. Cast not your pearls before swine is the same as handling people with long handle spoons. I wonder who came up with that. The type of, and that's because it's a way of criticizing people where it would not be easy to do so directly. We just step back. Did I say bad company corrupts good morals? That's another one. Because we don't know how long that spoon is going to be. So if there's someone causing distress, we have to be aware, okay, am I continuing to cast my pearls before swine because I haven't thought that I could walk away and I've been getting other guidance to just be around these people? But, hey, bad company corrupts good morals. And another thing I said, I think I said it the other week, in two of those weeks where, help me, Holy Spirit, you just said it. Nowhere will we find being nice in the Bible. Love is patient, love is kind. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. So if we get to the point where we're using unusual tableware that we can't find it, I'll put it like this, if you can't find it in the Bible, you really want to check the scripture that works for you. Because I can't think of a time where I was trying to be nice to somebody And I felt like I was just getting just torn apart and ripped up. Well, that's because I was casting my pearls before swine. And that's why it's important that we know who we are and who, what our value is from a kingdom perspective. The typological method is a doctrine of theological types. For example, in Genesis, God asked Abraham to offer his son Isaac to him. That is a foreshadowing of Christ going to the cross for us. The other part is, another story is in the book of Jonah, where Jonah tells his friends to throw him overboard, and he was explaining that God's wrath would pass once Jonah is sacrificed, and then the sea would become calm because he was the reason why all of that chaos was going on. And another thing I thought is interesting, in Victorian times, and we can use it, this is to explain typological method. In Victorian times, shops were intended as typology, which is that it's combined commercial with resident use. You'd have your business downstairs. I guess you would have your business downstairs and you would live upstairs above your business. And so you're kind of getting two for one as a typology. So those are different examples of typology and allegory. The ethical approach is to look for an ethical meaning. This is also known as the moral or tropological sense, and it involves reading between the lines of a passage to see how it applies to daily life. Again, cast not your pearls before swine. Do not give what's holy to the dog. And bad company corrupts good morals. Sometimes we feel obligated to stay around people because they've done something for us. It's a family member or whatever. And then when it comes down to family, there's always an answer. Jesus says, who is my mother, my father, my sister, my brother? Those who do the will of my Father in heaven. So if we feel obligated to be around people that continue to abuse us, mistreat us, and they just have kind of bad morals, there's word in the Bible that can free us clearly that we may not have been taught before. That was a new lesson for me. Who is my mother, my father, my sister, my brother? Can I tell y'all a quick story? One time my mom and I were having a disagreement before she went home. And boy, I couldn't decide what to do. I was like, Lord Jesus, help me. And I said, aha, mom. The word says, Jesus said, who is my mother, my father, my sister, my brother, those who do the will of the Father. And y'all know Miss Webb is spicy. She said, Kitty, I don't care what scripture you quote, I'm still your mama. And I said, I'm not saying you're not my mama. I'm just asking, is your behavior in the will of God? She said, well, anytime you get ready to go out of my room, you can right now. So I'm just saying, the truth is the truth. And I'm going to tell you something else. After I quoted it, smooth sailing all the way. I mean, it was like, oh, 1,000-degree turn. So she also told me this, and I always thought it was really strange. She says, you have to know the word of God that is for you. You have to know the word of God that's for you, because somebody may be giving you advice about the word that God gave them for their situation, but it may not be for you, for your situation. And I was like, okay, I guess. But now that I'm moving on, and you get turned on and torn and ripped to pieces by them pigs a couple of times, You'll find out which word you're using. Jesus said, love everybody. Now you got to show them love and don't let them get you to go down the lay level. Don't never let nobody take you to your level. Did Jesus, I'm just asking this, did Jesus stoop to their level whenever he flipped the table in the synagogue? Was Jesus getting down to the level of the disciples whenever they woke him up out of a nice, deep, restful sleep and he tapped on them? I mean, he became angry with them. There are times when we aren't taught about the times when Jesus expressed emotion that was different from so meek and lowly, humble, and the Lord, he is holy, all I want. Oh, they bring you to the hang on the cross, suffer, and don't say anything. But my Jesus flipped the table, which means I have other options rather than constantly suffering. And am I constantly suffering? Because I'm trying to do something that Jesus never did nor advised. So this is where we can see the scripture from an ethical approach. Then we have the mystical approach, which is where we are interpreting scripture. Like, say, for instance, whenever somebody mentions Revelation, in Revelation 21:2, the word Jerusalem refers to the heavenly future of believers. And so anytime the word Jerusalem comes up, it is thought of as a place that represents heaven in some kind of way. And that's why I think we have so many versions of the Bible. I mean, you can't count them. But one of my favorite is the Message Bible. Listen how the Message Bible speaks about Corinthians 13. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. We know only a portion of the truth, and what we say about God is always incomplete. Will somebody please repeat always? Is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incompleteness will be canceled. We don't see yet the things that we see. We don't see things clearly. Watch this. We are squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then. See it as clearly as God sees us. We will know God directly just as he knows us. Now, you know it don't sound like that in the King James Version. I'm just saying. I'm going to go back up so we can hear the complete difference in these. Now, this is the New King James Version. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know just as I am also known. I just kind of like the Message better, because I can understand trying to see through a fog. That's why I'm up here squinting the day I left my glasses. That's trying to see through a fog. I have to get my laugh in there. So What lens are you using? What lens are you using to get a better understanding and a deeper interpretation of the word? For in truth, really, for now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. For now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I'm fully known. Please stand on your feet. If this word has touched you, moved you in any way, please raise your hand if you feel comfortable. If you have something that you have on your heart and you would like to pray about, raise your hand again. And as we prepare to go forward and enjoy God's presence, just remember, in his presence there's fullness of joy, and in his right hand there's pleasure evermore. So let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this day that you have made. We thank